sixth and final regular Lenten service here as we gather now this last week before Holy Week. That means that Sunday coming up is Palm Sunday, and then the next week is our Maundy Thursday service, so we don't have any Wednesday meetings next week, and then we'll gather at 6:30 on Thursday for our regular drama. And if there are any of you who would like to take part in that with us as we do kind of our traditional 12 disciples up here, if there's any of you who would like to take part in that, please let me know. We're putting that together here now tonight and tomorrow, and so we're looking for volunteers for that. And then we'll have communion that night also, so come for that. And then Friday is our Good Friday service of darkness. That is at 6:30 also Friday evening, and then all of that is in preparation for the wonderful, beautiful celebration that will come a week from Sunday as we celebrate our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're looking forward to that. There's going to be breakfast at 8:45 that morning, and then a special service at 10 o'clock to celebrate that time. A couple of things related to that. I'm still looking for one person, if they're willing, or a group of people, if they're willing to do special music for the Good Friday service. If that might be something you're interested in, come talk to me after the service. Let's see, choir practice. The choir, we're going to have a choir singing on Easter Sunday, and they had their first meeting this last Sunday. There's going to be a practice here later tonight. Jim is not here, who is going to be directing it, but Rachel is here, is somewhere, and she is going to be leading it tonight too. So stick around. We're still going to practice here this evening if that's something you want to be a part of. If you missed the practice on Sunday, that's okay. Still please come here this evening and take part in that as we get ready. We'll be practicing, I believe, on Sunday also this coming week for that. Let's see here. This Friday, the Bible School Concert Choir is singing in Fergus Falls, and I was looking at their schedule, wondering if they were going to be able to make it through all this snow, and I think they're in Cloquet tonight, and then they're up to Thief River Falls, so I'm guessing they're going to stay to the north of it. So I'm assuming that that there still should be a concert on Friday night in Fergus Falls. I'm planning to go. Anybody's welcome to go. If you would like to carpool, let me know that also, and I'd be happy to figure that out with you. And then one other thing, too, if you have heard, too, we're putting together a bell choir to play on May 5th, which is Confirmation Sunday. And if that's something that you would be interested in doing, talk to myself or to Pam, and we can get you the information about that. I think there's going to be an email going out soon about that. Deadline is tonight. Oh, boy. So don't miss this remarkable opportunity. Sign up now or forever hold your peace. Okay. What's that? Or at least till fall. Okay. Very good. I think that's all the announcements I want to mention tonight. Is there anything else that I missed that we need to say? If not, then let's open in prayer. And I'm going to read for you a prayer I saw online here, someone posted recently. It's a Lenten prayer written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Lutheran pastor in Nazi Germany. And I really appreciated it. And so I'll read that for you here, and then we'll pray also here to open our service. Bonhoeffer prays, God of the day and of the night, in me there is darkness, but with you there is light. I am alone, but you will not leave me. I am weak, but you will come to my help. I am restless, but you are my peace. I am in haste, but you are the God of infinite patience. I am confused and lost, but you are eternal wisdom, and you direct my path, now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the truth that what we are not, you are. That what we could not accomplish, you did. That what we could not fathom, you knew from the foundation of the earth, of the world. God, thank you for your work in creation and through all of history, ultimately leading up to what Paul calls in Galatians, the fullness of time, the fulcrum of eternity, when God became man, when Jesus came to this earth and dwelt among us and lived a perfect life and sacrificed that perfect life on the cross, so that we might have his righteousness. God, tonight we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We are grateful this Lenten season for the work that you have done for us. Forgive us when we take that for granted. Forgive us, God, when we fall short, when we fail you, when we sin. God, help us to trust in your unfailing grace each and every day. I pray for this service now, and as we hear your word through song, through scripture reading, through the preaching of your word, God, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear what you have for us tonight. In your name I pray, amen. Let's begin tonight by singing together the Lenten hymn number 71, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, number 71. Some scripture readings tonight. The first one is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 25. I would invite you to stand if you are able with me out of respect for God's word. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 7. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Tonight we're talking about truth and that question from Pilate to Jesus, what is truth? And here the prayer is, lead me in your truth, O God. For you are the God of my salvation. That's where God's truth leads. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. That's God's truth. For they have been from of old. And then verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. That is God's truth for us tonight. And then we have a responsive reading. It's found in your hymnal, page 161, toward the front of your hymnal. Reading under the heading of the Bible as God's Word. These are selected verses from Scripture that talk specifically about Scripture, about the Bible as God's holy Word. And so I will begin. If you will please respond by reading the words that are in bold on page 161, reading about the Bible here as God's Word. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Here ends our reading. And then let's together confess our faith, saying this is what we believe, specifically what we believe about the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, using Luther's explanation here of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it printed in your handout here this evening. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father before eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, bought me and freed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with silver and gold, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent sufferings and death, in order that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true, and it is most certainly true. You may be seated. At this time, I will call on the ushers to wait upon us. As a reminder, our offering this Lenten season is going to our seminary, and so we'll call the ushers up at this time. We're glad to have Pastor Tom Reagan with us tonight from Bethany Free Lutheran down in Abercrombie. And rural Abercrombie, I suppose, would be the right way to say it. Yes, a beautiful congregation and church down there, and so we're looking forward to Pastor Reagan sharing with us tonight. Before he comes up, let's sing together hymn number 200, Thou Art the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's sing hymn number 200 together.
Good evening. Good to be back with you again. And I want to extend greetings again from Bethany Free Lutheran Church people who worship there as members and also just guests. We are 5 miles southwest of Abercrombie. And if you plan to go to church there, you're going to have to go the long way around if you're coming from Abercrombie. Two of the bridges, which we often cross to get there, are way underwater. And so, but otherwise, we just say hello and God bless you and your ministry together. I'm going to be reading from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18. If you want, you can follow along in your Bibles if you have them with you, or Pew Bible or whatever you have here, or just listen. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray you would bless our hearing of your word, that you would have it just to sink down deep into us, and that you would use it in our lives and bring it to our minds and speak to us through it and help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. John 18, beginning at verse 28. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. This is the word of God. In this scripture today, as Pastor Micah mentioned, we are focusing on what is truth. And it's kind of interesting that you've got Pilate there asking this question, what is truth? It's like a rhetorical question maybe, because there's no other conversation that's recorded of it. And you're just kind of left there. In the early part of John 18, Jesus was arrested and he was taken to Annas and then to the high priest Caiaphas and then to Pilate, the Roman governor. And we have this question that is asked at the end of the text, what is truth? And it's ironic that here he's standing before the one who is the truth, who we know to be the truth. And yet he asks this question. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Truth can often be very difficult. Do you know what I mean? Truth can be very difficult sometimes. I think of a little kid who might have just, I've thrown a rock through a window before. This was a long time ago. I was little, you know. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I was trying to throw it over the roof. Didn't make it. And the truth was, I was right there in front of my friend whose house it was, and he says, don't worry, you know, we'll tell my parents, and, you know, he didn't say they won't kill you, but they didn't, you know, it was all good. But, you know, the truth, when you're caught like that, you can do one of two things. You can run, or you can face it. You can deny it, or face it. Truth can be very difficult. One verse before our gospel reading today, Peter denied knowing Jesus for the third time. He denied knowing the Jesus whom he had followed for maybe up to 3 years. And he, I'm sure, feared to be arrested like Jesus was arrested. I'm sure he feared to face the situation that Jesus was facing, possible death. He likely feared for his life. Fear caused him to deny the truth. You hear me? Fear caused him to deny the truth. Today in the United States of America, we're told by some news outlets and some scientists and some educators and different people, they tell us things that they claim are the truth. Facts. You know, facts are supposed to be truth, right? Christians may be called names for sticking to God's word, you know, for holding on to it, for believing what it says. It can create fear in us when they are telling us we're wrong, when they're telling us we're foolish, or whatever it might be. There's a plaque in my office. If you were to come to my office, you better let me know ahead of time so I can pick a few papers up. But you can see in the very top when you come in the door, it's a little room in the basement in the northwest corner, in the north edge of the house. And it says, truth is not always popular, but it is always right. I think we experience that in our life. Truth is not always popular, but it is always right. In John 18 today, we learn that some Jews did not want to enter the Roman governor's palace because they would become ceremonially unclean. And it is really an interesting thing that they didn't want to become unclean because if they became unclean, they wouldn't be able to eat the Passover. And isn't it ironic that at the same time, they are talking about wanting Jesus to be killed? They want to keep the law, yet break the law. The word Passover is mentioned about 21 times in the Bible, and the word shedding of innocent blood, that phrase, is about 18 times. And so you're going, that is very interesting. They weren't really dealing with the truth. They wanted to obey keeping the Passover, and yet they wanted to kill someone who was innocent. It seems Pilate wanted things done in an orderly way. Look at him. He says to the Jews, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" And, of course, their response was, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." You likely noticed that they didn't list any charges. They didn't have any. They didn't have anything on him that was true. After Pilate told the Jews to judge him according to their own religious laws, they objected, saying, "But we have no right to execute anyone," which was true under their law, of the Romans. And ironically, their answer was a fulfillment of Jesus' very words, you know, which he prophesied about his own death at the hands of the Jews, that he'd be executed by them. Jesus' words about the future were true. Matthew, Mark, Luke, all three of them said this about Jesus' words. "Heaven and earth," Jesus said, "will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Catch that? They're eternal. They're true. If Jesus' words never pass away, that means they are certainly true, because God's word is truth. Now, Pilate questioned Jesus, seemingly to get what the truth was, and he focused on something he heard, and he heard that Jesus, they were saying that he was the king of the Jews, or believed he was the king of the Jews. Then Jesus spoke this about his kingdom. "You are a king then." This is what Pilate said, I should say, when he discovered that he's a king. It's like he finally discovered a fact, yet he's before the truth right here. Jesus spoke about his kingdom, and Pilate just focused on Jesus being a king. Aha, he got something finally. Jesus said these amazing things. You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. The very reason Jesus was born and came into the world was to testify to the truth, to testify to his heavenly Father, to testify to all of us of what the truth is. One time I told somebody what the Bible said about a certain immoral act which they were about to commit. And the guy said to me, well, that's your opinion. I said, no, it's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says, that if you do this, it is wrong, it is sin. He said, well, that's your opinion. He just wanted to keep saying, that's your opinion. That was his way of not facing the truth. How often does it happen for us that facing the truth is a difficult thing? And I know Pilate, it seems like he wanted to know the truth, right? Because he asked these questions. But it seems that the truth was going to disrupt his governing. He didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to believe it. Sometimes in our life, truth might interrupt our life. It might hurt it. Might cause us trouble or embarrassment. The truth is always right. May not be very popular, but it's always right. Pilate didn't want to admit he's wrong, I suppose. Maybe he didn't think he was wrong. Since we're speaking about truth, we can't go away from tonight thinking about the two different kinds of truth there are. There's absolute truth. Now, this is what's true in all times, in all places, for all people. That's absolute truth, okay? And if someone ever says to you, oh, I don't think there's such a thing as absolute truth, you can just ask them, do you believe that absolutely? Maybe they'll catch it, maybe they won't. But absolute truth exists, and we know where it's found. It's found in the Word of God. It's the Word of God, and we know it's our Heavenly Father. It's our Lord Jesus Christ, too. Well, there's other truth, aside from absolute truth, is relative truth. And relative truth is when someone says, you know, well, my truth is different than your truth. You know, what's true for me is true for me, but if you don't have to believe that. What's true for you is true for you. And that's what's gotten us into a lot of messes in this world. A whole lot of messes. There's one truth. It's God's truth. The rest is relative. And basically turns out to be opinion, with maybe sprinkles of truth here and there. It's a surprising thing that when a person encounters the truth, that is Jesus Christ, that they're face to face with their own situation of whether they're going to believe it or not. Some people live their lives with false truths and half-truths, and they've invested the life in them, and to admit that they're wrong is a hard thing, but such an important thing. I mean, that's a lot why we do this Lent thing, right? That's why we get together to worship the one true God, the one who is absolutely true. But we also know that fears come into life, too. And I remember visiting with a young bearded man who was not a Christian, and he wanted to know the truth. This man was from Fargo. And we talked for about 45 minutes. He complimented me on answering all the questions that he had. And he said he answered them really well. And I was really surprised that he'd be honest about that, you know. And then, however, over the weeks, it seems that his girlfriend persuaded him to not talk with me anymore. And it's like he said to me, he wanted to know the truth. That was in the beginning. And then later on, he changed his mind. He didn't want to know that truth. He wanted to listen to his girlfriend instead. And then, no more conversation. No more conversation. We can pray for that man that he will find the truth. The truth that overcame death and sin and the devil. Truth is not always popular, but it is always right. And certainly, we think of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Pilate, "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." I think that's pretty amazing. It's a very bold statement. If anyone's on the side of truth, they're going to listen to me. That's exclusive of everything else. Yet, Jesus said it. He said it. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. That's my prayer for you, for me, that we can be on the side of truth, that we can be listening to him. And also so that whenever anything, any areas of our life or we're fearful of certain situations or different things or the truth coming out, it's okay. Let the truth come out. Let the truth reign. Let the truth expose lies that are around us. It's worth it. Anyone or everyone on the side of truth listens to Jesus. We will never regret believing in Jesus. We will never regret trusting him. And it's completely and totally worth it. Absolutely. Jesus, by his grace and by the Holy Spirit, helps us to see what he's done for us, what we'll remember this coming week, and see the great depths of love that he has for each of us. And that we never have to doubt his love for us because it's so deep and so true. And that he helps us in that. Anytime we ask, and even when we don't, we have a great God whose word is true and whom we need not fear if we be exposed for our own sin, because he gives forgiveness, because he gives grace. And that is an amazing thing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord God, that you tell us to repent, to turn from our sin, to be honest, to come humbly before you, knowing that you so freely forgive because the blood you shed for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Help us to live in your truth. Help us to seek your truth every day. Thank you for loving us so much. Help us to love you in return. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. One of the thoughts that was in my mind, too, as you were speaking, was that I think one of the challenges people have with truth is that it seems abstract to so many. It's hard to see and hear and so forth and to really grasp tangibly for us. And that's one of the things I love most about Jesus, and that he is the embodiment of truth. And I think even of the cross, too, as we, like I said earlier, start to point our eyes now towards Holy Week, and you know the truth of the cross is, and you've maybe heard me say something similar to this before, in many ways very hard for us to hear and to see and to know the truth of the cross, that we are so bad, we are so sinful, that it took the Son of God's death to save us. That's hard truth that we don't like, but the truth of the cross is also that God was willing to do it, and that his grace covers our sins, and it was a payment that he was willing to make because of his great love for us. That is also the truth embodied in the Word of God incarnate. And so we need to sing that song here as we close. O Word of God incarnate, God's truth incarnate. We can see Christ here tonight as our prayer. Hymn number 263. Let's sing that together. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful for you tonight and for your word, for the word of God incarnate, made flesh, that the truth came. You yourself declared it. You are the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. And so, Lord, even as we are reminded of who you are, as the account of your trial with Pilate was read here and talked about tonight, God, we are reminded of the confusion of the world when it comes to truth. In a world that is filled with relativism and an idea that we can make our own truth, God, I pray that we would stand firm on the truth, on you. Keep us close, O God, to you. Teach our hearts to know the truth and to be able to discern what is not truth in a world that is filled with lies and deceit. Lord, I pray that our congregation here at St. Paul's would be a beacon for truth, and that a world that is hungering for truth would know that they can come here and to not just to hear it abstractly, but to know it, to see it, to hear it, God, to see and hear you. I pray for that. I pray for the rest of our night now. Keep us safe until we meet again. Hear us as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive the benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in God's peace.